And our sermon text, Ecclesiastes 12, verses 1 through 8. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails because man is going to his eternal home. And the mourners go about the streets before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Those of you 12 years old and younger, remember this name, Aubrey de Grey. Aubrey de Grey. He has some great social media pages and a website. He is a 61-year-old British scientist who hopes to outlive you. He's really a clever guy, too, and he's smart and great sense of humor. He is editor of an academic journal, among other things, called Rejuvenation Research. And he's author of the book Ending Aging. Does that get your attention? Ending Aging? His basic idea is that regenerative medicine can thwart the aging process, allowing an indefinite lifespan. He has what he calls, he's developed a longevity escape velocity, he calls it. Longevity escape velocity, LEV. He figures that a point in life will be reached when lifespan extending technologies will prolong our lives so that life expectancy improves at a faster pace than our rate of aging. When we reach that longevity escape velocity, pretty imaginative, pretty graphic, paints the picture as he wants to. And he says that we won't die of age-related causes. You may get hit by a bus or a meteor may crack your skull, but you won't die from age-related causes. And he thinks this is achievable in the 2030s. Go check him out. He's a very charming, used to be a young man. His hair is starting to turn gray now, too. So aging, nevertheless, is catching up with him, right? How does that sound? How does that sound to you? Especially those of you that are getting closer and closer to the lip of the grave, right? Aubrey de Grey is our Messiah from old age and death, is he, perhaps? What might Koheleth say to Aubrey de Grey? He may answer with the words of Moses. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Right? From Psalm 90. In Solomon's day, this was the upper limit of the human lifespan. Today, 70 and 80 are the norm, all other things being equal. Today, the upper limits of human lifespan are over 100 years old, right? I remember a few years ago, we lost Lloyd Baker, who was a surveyor in this region. 107 he was. 107. I remember being a chaplain at Good Samaritan and seeing him come in and visit some of his friends. But he went on to live to age 107. In almost 3,000 years of redemptive history, lost man has managed to bump the average lifespan of humanity, maybe 30 years. Even then, though, I would submit, this is strictly because the West has followed biblical principles of life and benefited from it, but that's another sermon. Yet, what is the net result? Well, I would submit that it is still what Moses calls it to be. That is, they are soon gone and we fly away. What are 30 years in the great scheme of things? In the cumulative course of the ages. Like a dream that passes, isn't it? Also, what lost man continuously neglects to factor, all our days pass away under your wrath. As Psalm 90 says, right? We bring our years to an end like a sigh. Who considers the power of your anger? Certainly not Aubrey de Grey. And your wrath according to the fear of you. Death is here for a reason. God himself expresses his wrath towards us through it. You want to know the measure of God's wrath? You can begin by looking at death. Nothing can ameliorate this wrath. Go ahead. By God's common grace, through the general benefits of the gospel in our culture, you may extend the lifespan of humanity by 30 years, or even out to age 400, or even optimistically to 1,000 years, as Aubrey de Grey says that some of us will live to be, right? Well, I submit to Mr. de Grey, with all fondness, I like you, Aubrey de Grey, but you still pass away under God's wrath. The power and effects of death and aging still overtake you, regardless of your science and superhuman labors. There is only one redeemer from this circumstance. Solomon points us to him. Let's take a look at our text today. You have a multi-point outline there before you, don't you? I'm only going to spend 10 minutes on each point, so don't worry. First of all, verses 1 through 5. A couple of larger points I'd like to make with the aging. Aging. Koheleth foresees the calamities of age and counsels remembrance of one's creator. Verses 1 through 5. Now Solomon is bringing his conundrum epistle to a close here, our last chapter. Some of you may be happy about that. I love this book now that I understand it in the light in which Solomon intended. But we are coming to a close. You may remember that it is our contention that Ecclesiastes is a kind of insoluble wisdom puzzle that Solomon has very deliberately constructed in order to provoke his future sons. That would be Rehoboam, right? They would be princes. He intends for them to wrestle with the various issues of life in order to become wise. Part of the reason Ecclesiastes has perplexed commentators for so many centuries is precisely because this was Solomon's purpose in composing it as a conundrum, which is a riddle. The Oxford English Dictionary calls it a riddle, especially with a pun in the answer, a puzzling question. And Solomon has cultivated several biblical motifs which have appeared, disappeared, and reappeared again throughout the course of the book. They're there again for us today, too. There is no set pat answer to any of them, which is why it has frustrated clever commentators for centuries. Some of those motifs include, once again, all things come around to be again. This is epitomized in the cliche, there is nothing new under the sun. We hear it in our own culture, don't we? And secondly, no man can predict precisely when, how, or where history will repeat itself. That's the rub. Though all things that have been will be again, and though what we are going through has been in the past and will reappear someday in the future, who can tell when it will be? No one. Thirdly, a man's toil is brief but sweet. Not vain and meaningless. No, a man's toil is brief but sweet. We labor and work, we work and labor, though the fall has frustrated the full fruition of these labors, they are nonetheless all that God has left to us under the sun. We are meant to enjoy them, howsoever brief that enjoyment may be. After a day of hard, fulfilling work, go home, kiss your wife, hug your kids, kick the cat, drink a glass of wine, and eat a loaf of fresh bread. Enjoy yourself, relax, and thank God who enabled you to enjoy all of these things. Number four, there is an apt time for everything, too. One of the major motifs throughout this book. There is an apt time for everything. Just as there's no way to predict a thing in time, so there is no way to set peace in time. Only true biblical wisdom can discern when the proper godly time to do a thing is. Number five, all is vaporous, brief, and fleeting. It's been a constant theme, isn't it, every week? We've asserted all along that the Hebrew word habel is best translated in its literal sense, vapor. Vapor appears momentarily, briefly, and then disappears. It's here and then gone. So it is with all which Koheleth treats here. Life, wealth, labor, health, strength, fortune. It's vaporous. And then six, death comes to all. Lurking behind all things is the Adamic curse. That's been a constant motif. Appearing, reappearing, expanded each time it has. You'll eventually come to meet your maker. Howsoever long life may seem, take note, Aubrey de Grey. Nevertheless, you will die. If that is the case, how should we then live, as Francis Schaeffer would say? Koheleth exhorts us to remember Zakar, the Zakar motif. Remember our Creator in the days of our youth, when we have our powers before the onset of decay and death. Do you remember what it means to remember the Zakar motif of the Bible? Use your cognitive skills to recall that remembrance in the Bible. Remembrance in the Bible is more than cognitive recall. Moses puts it this way in Numbers 15. Remember all the commandments of the Lord to do them, not to follow after your own heart and your own eyes, which you are inclined to whore after. So you shall remember and do all my commandments, and be holy to your God. Remembering is not mere cognitive recall, but remember so as to do. So it is here. If you remember God in all the circumstances below, you will be a covenant-keeping son or daughter, young ones. In a very clever, effective, wise manner, Koheleth employs all of the senses and faculties of the human body to illustrate what a true remembering son does and what he looks like. The true, obedient, remembering son is aware at every minute of his life that God is present and will hold him accountable for every thought and action. You will not be able to do this perpetually, forever, and have do-overs and other chances to get it perfect. No. Solomon does this by exhausting the complaints of the old man. Complaints of the old man You ever go into Highway Cafe here down the street up on Yellowstone Avenue, right? All the old men in there drinking coffee and talking about the old times and what's going on with this young generation, right? All the old men in the booth at the Highway Cafe complaining about life, right? Well, what are some of the things they say? Let's look at our text here today, shall we? First of all, aging. With great joy, A, under one, with great joy, remember your Creator before depression and ennui afflict your mood. I remember as a small boy going to visit one of my mother's aging aunts who was in the habit of breaking out into uncontrollable weeping at the mere mention of some past memory or the name of some long-lost loved one. We've known relatives, perhaps friends like this. I never liked going there since she never seemed to be in a good mood, always sad and depressed. I didn't like that as a kid. There was always a cloud over her head, which is precisely the sense communicated here by verse 2. Before the sun and light and the moon and stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. You expect clouds when it rains. You expect the sky to clear up afterwards, though. But when the clouds come back, it's like, oh, man. Portland's suicide rate is one-third higher than the national average. I think that's as much due to the politics as the weather, but psychologists link this in part to seasonal affective disorder, and the acronym for that is SAD, right? Seasonal affective disorder, depression because of the weather and seasonal conditions. If you've lived there, you know what it means to have 3 days of rain, then have the sun poke out for a few minutes and the clouds return after the rain, right? Brings on ennui, a French word. Good word. Ennui. It means mental weariness from lack of occupation or interest. Boredom. The French have a particular way of expressing boredom, though. You don't have to be old or depressed or afflicted with ennui, but the temptation is to succumb to it with the other afflictions of age. While life is exciting and new and fun-filled, challenges perhaps, remember God and live unto him while you're young. Live unto him while you're young. Stock your heart with experiences of joy. Experiences of joy in obedience to God while you're young. And you'll have a lifetime of joy in which to reflect when you're old. It will be impossible for you to be depressed. Well, B under one, aging. Labor in remembrance of your Creator before your limbs, frame, and strength decay. I have a poster at home. It has this old smiling man looking pretty buff for his age. And it says, growing old is not for sissies. Can I get an amen? Growing old is not for sissies, is it? The keepers of the house here is a euphemism for the strong arms of the young man whose frame becomes bent with age. Our grandson, Aaron, is wrestling, and he's moving up in the world, in the wrestling world. Won a match recently 14 points to 1, and he's I think he's going to be at the top of his class. While he's young, the trouble with him is reminding him to remember his Creator in the days of his youth. He gets a little carried away with his own strength. So, remember God, young people. Oh, young man, remember God while your arms are strong. And it doesn't take two to hoist a bale of hay, and you don't have to think twice about lifting that 50-pound feed bag. You can punch your way out of three bullies jumping you in the schoolyard without having to give up your lunch money, right? Many of you know of my lament here in the last few years. It's grief. It's protest. That is, I have had to give up downhill skiing. I'm not that good, but I love it. And it's a kick. It's a thrill. My knees and my back and my stamina, however, just will not meet the challenge of the slopes anymore. So I have a great view of Grand Targhee and the ski slope, and I see at night I see the groomers with their grooming sleds And I just long to be out there, but I can't anymore unless you want me preaching from a wheelchair. So while you're young, while you have those strong arms, the day is coming when you have to think twice about these things, and your body will just not do what it can do now. So remember God now and honor him. Obey him with your strength. Are you listening, Tyler? You're the one who can board better than any of us in here, and he's acquiring a lot of skills. Remember God in the days of your youth, young man. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Someday it'll be too late. Your strength will give out, and despite all your desire to do so, you will no longer be able to love him with all your strength. So remember now. All right, C under one. Aging. Savor the remembrance of your Creator before your teeth fall out of your head. Verse 3b. Rome became so debauched in her latter days that the upper classes provided a special room in which feasting guests could regurgitate full stomachs in order to eat more. Gibbon, the historian, documents 3rd and 4th century vomitoriums, they were called, throughout the empire. Sounds like a fun place, huh? As rich delicacies were imported from faraway lands, bored and sated Romans, filled with ennui, feasted like this for days. Sometimes it was a cultural contest for them, until all of the rich array of food that Rome could offer was sampled and guests could finally go home. Meanwhile, in the streets of Rome, the masses starved. Is this how you want to remember your days? There are five factors of fat, too, in our own days, from our own habits in eating. Psychology Today lists five factors as to why Americans are so fat. First of all, highly processed foods. If you're going to eat highly processed foods, you're going to gain weight. Sleep loss, too. Sleep has a lot to do with your health and weight gain, too. If you can't sleep, you will gain pounds. Or eating out, number three. There's a lot of calories in food eating out. So buy your salad and take it home. Number four, snacking between meals. We all know this, right? And then finally, mindless eating, just eating for the sake of eating, right? Feeding your pie hole. No, these are the five factors of fat. The days are coming, right? Is this how you want to remember your days? By the time your teeth fall out and you're no longer able to honor God with your palate. One of the great advances of our age and culture is modern dentistry. What would your smile look like without it, huh? What would you be able to eat without it? Thank God. Remember him while you still have teeth in your head. It's one of life's simple pleasures that Koheleth exhorts upon us, doesn't he? Enjoy it while you can, but do so remembering your Creator who put those teeth in your head. All right. D under one, aging. See that you remember your Creator before your sight begins to darken. Cataracts used to end the seeing career of its victim till recently. Now a simple procedure can remove them. And thank God for the genius of Ben Franklin, inventor of the bifocals, right? Advances have given us contacts. We no longer have to be toothless four eyes, right? Even so, age takes its toll. There will be a day when you will not spot that elk in the brush from 500 yards, or that empty cab in the city from three blocks away, or Starbucks logo from four blocks away, right? And what crosses your eye gate, listener? What are your thoughts and preoccupations? Those things that look through the windows, so graphically portrayed here. We will all be accountable for how we have used this faculty of our sight. Keep this in mind, O young man, young woman, as you have the choices before you to look with lust or modesty, with greed or generosity, with covetousness or contentment, with hatred or with love. The day is coming when you will no longer be able to remember your Creator with your eyesight. Well, E, under one, aging. Get out in remembrance of your Creator before your kids shut you in, just to keep you safe. When we lived in Yukon, I used to jog through the streets, and there was a home on our main drag out of which came an old man with dementia, wandered in the middle of the road mumbling to himself. On more than one occasion, he stopped me to ask where his wife is. She'd been dead for 15 years, or if I'd seen the plumber. His daughter from time to time would come out of her door sighing and fussing and pull him back into the house. Losing a parent once or twice is understandable, but three times? That's downright irresponsible, right? The doors should be shut for this old man. Every time you walk out of your door, every time you come home, remember your Creator to honor him. Talk of them, Moses says, that is the commandments. When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Where are you going? Are your feet rushing to sin, as the Proverbs say? Or is what you're going out to do going to honor God? Remember God and what you go from home to do or enter home to do. Because the day is coming when your kids are going to lock the door on you for your own safety. All right, F under one, aging. Give ear in remembrance to your Creator before your hearing goes stone deaf. What did you say, Pastor? What did you say, man? And as I come to this point, as I was preparing, I just put a CD on by John Michael Talbot on the Lord's Supper. I could have listened to Megadeth or Led Zeppelin or the Rolling Stones like I used to do, right? For this pilgrimage of the year, I thank God. You all have been gracious. My wife tells me my hearing is fading quickly, and some of you have noticed that too, and I appreciate your graciousness with me in that. What crosses your ear gate, listener? Do you long to hear gossip or trash talk or criticism of your brother? Or do you seek what Paul exhorts, that is, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Remember God in what crosses your ear gate, because the day is coming when you no longer be able to choose what to hear, that next sermon, that next CD, or that salacious story. G, under one, aging. Rest in remembrance of your Creator before fear of the grim reaper overtakes you. My adolescent cousins of my Uncle Ray used to take perverse delight in startling my maternal grandmother. At family get-togethers, they'd come up behind her or jump from around a corner. Boo! They loved doing it precisely because she would react so dramatically. But my uncle put a stop to this when she once dropped her favorite china cup full of hot coffee. That's the sense of rising up at the sound of a bird, right? Old age is notorious for light sleeping. And as the faculties fade, the sound of a bird could be a siren, a smoke alarm, or a roof crashing in, right? You don't know until you get up and check it out. At the heart of this startle reaction is the fear of impending doom, of death itself. What will happen next? Remember God while you still have your wits about you, for the day is coming when you will not be fearless, willing to take on the world, but you'll cower in your bed like a recluse. H, under one, aging. Sing robustly. I like this one. This is for us, brothers and sisters. Sing robustly in remembrance of your Creator before your voice gives out. I got an email from a friend up in the Presbytery Church in Alaska. He's been listening to some of my sermons online, and he says, your voice has changed over the years. I can hear it. What's going on? What's going wrong? He says, wow. Maybe some of you can give me some feedback. Has my voice changed over the years? Perhaps it has. I don't know. The vocal cords of the old, the daughters of song, lose their elasticity and tension as they age. This is why you can often hear the age in the tremulous voice of the elderly. I don't think mine is there yet. I can still boom a little bit when I need to. Can I? You think? This ended the career of Maria Callas and the great Caruso. You know, Kris Kristofferson died last year. What is the legacy of these singers? To whom did they dedicate their careers? Sing robustly in remembrance of your Creator. We're going to have a Sunday where we hear on the 9th, I believe, when Josh is going to take us through our paces on a couple of more hymns. Turn out for that and give your voice to the Lord in song. Sing robustly. So while we don't have a choir, we don't have special music, we have congregational singing where we give of our voices. And as my brother used to tell me, don't let anyone steal your voice. You may not be able to carry a tune in a bucket, but you sing anyway because you're wired to sing. We're wired to sing with our voices and do so robustly. Don't be shy and wilting in this. Sing robustly. Give your voice. Sing unto the Lord. Remember him with your voice, for the day is coming when you'll no longer be able to hit that high C, ladies, or that low C, men. All right. I, under one, aging, climb great heights in remembrance of your Creator before vertigo tips you over. From 1976 to 1978, I lived two blocks from the best rock climbing terrain in the nation, the Flatirons in Boulder, Colorado. I didn't know how good I had it. I did take advantage of it. I'd literally walk home from work, put on my climbing shoes, and scramble until dusk in my backyard. It was exhilarating until one afternoon I got trapped on a rock face and I experienced my first bout with a climber's worst enemy, vertigo. I learned two things. Don't overclimb your holds and don't climb alone. Now, with age, I could never do that. You'd read about me in the papers if I tried that today. With age, this increases to where one day I anticipate feeling that same unsettling feeling standing on a chair, adjusting a picture. Every time you summit a peak in Idaho, young ones, young men, young ladies, every time you summit a peak in Idaho, every time you climb a stairs in your home, every time you step off a curb in the city, remember your God and climb great heights for his glory, for his sake, while you still have your balance. J, under one, aging. Travel the world in remembrance of your Creator before fear of a mugging thwarts you. Everybody in New York gets mugged. My brother did while he was there. One of his best friends did. I spent a sum total of approximately 7 weeks in France, over three different journeys there. I would never do this again, never go there again. They were a combination of work and pleasure. And I loved my time there. Dangerous place now, France, especially Paris. I've also spent about 5 months in ministry-related travels, though, right? 10 days in Romania, 2 weeks in Monterrey, Mexico, and an entire summer in Belgium. Debbie did that early in our marriage. To me, these are the trips abroad that count for the kingdom. There, people were won to Christ and believers were built up, as well as me. So while I remembered God in France on several of those trips, I count those other travels in ministry as ones in which I remembered God in a far more honoring fashion. Remember God now on great adventures in the world. Many of you young people, you have great adventures before you. You'll travel, go places, do things. Remember God as you do them. The day is coming when you'll be vulnerable. I'm far more vulnerable. I've got about 60 seconds of good, tough fight in me yet. And you better beat me in those 60 seconds. But after that, I just don't think I have the stamina and the strength. I'm vulnerable, getting weaker, and I'm unable to get out on the road, out on the way. I'm not going to have my license taken away from me. But that's something that might be the case. Are you getting the picture here? Are you getting the picture? In every aspect of your life as you age, remember God. Remember God. K, under one. Aging. Groom yourself in remembrance of your Creator before your hair turns gray. That's the sense of when the almond tree blossoms. It sends out beautiful white blossoms, doesn't it? Oh, Mr. Aubrey de Grey, he's 61 now. And a pun on his name, his hair is turning gray, too. Wrinkles are beginning to crease his face. I've followed him over the years. The glory of young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair, right? I've noticed as Stuart was standing up here leading us in singing, he's got a few flecks of gray. More than a few flecks, yeah. Yeah, see, it happens, doesn't it? Your almond tree is beginning to blossom there, brother. Yeah, yeah, amen. Charm is deceitful, men. Young men, as the Proverbs tells us, charm is deceitful, beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Look for her. L, under one. Cavort about in remembrance of your Creator before your limber body creaks to a halt. Oh, the crippled insect. What a pathetic sight, right? So is an old man hobbling through the mall, right? And that comes to us, too, as your joints and your muscles begin to deteriorate and your body ages. We hobble around like a locust, a wounded locust, right? Very vivid imagery of what age does to you. M, under one. Now, moving a little faster, perhaps. Satisfy your appetite in remembrance of your Creator before your hormones stop secreting. You have many appetites to sate. As a young man or woman, remember God as you satisfy them. We're meant to satisfy our hunger, right? Are we not? Our hunger for food, our hunger for a mate of the opposite sex. You have many appetites to sate as a young man or woman. But remember God as you do them, as you choose a spouse, as you surf the internet, as you don clothing, as you shop at the supermarket or the mall. Remember your God as you do these things. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. N, under one, aging. Celebrate life in remembrance of your Creator before the funeral train comes for you. Before the funeral train comes for you. Fresh in my mind as the mourners walk about the streets, right? Fresh in my mind are the mourners who are in the street at the funeral of Abby Zaladanis this past year. A little earlier than that, we That funeral train is going to come for all of us. Abby remembered God in the days of her youth, did she not? And is herself remembered well. And I'm sure remembered Zakar, remembered by God himself. That train's going to come for you one of these days, brothers and sisters. All right, larger point number two. Aging. Koheleth foresees the finality of death and emphasizes life's utter vaporousness. Not despair, vanity, meaninglessness. No, it's brevity. It's fleeting character. Verses 6 through 8. A, under 2. Aging. Death severs the precious, fleeting tie we have with life. What a great image of our tie to life, right? And these images here just get more poignant with age. Silver, a precious metal, the tie we have with life, likened to a silver cord, will one day snap for all of us. How vaporous is life in the end? Oh, Aubrey de Grey. Even if you live 1,000 years, that silver cord will snap. B under two, aging. Death destroys the precious, fleeting receptacle of life. One of my favorite songs is sung by Andreas Vollenweider, Rain in the Cup of My Life, it is, where he uses rain filling a cup as a metaphor for the love that has filled his life. It's a beautiful song, secular, but still nevertheless beautiful. But it reminds me of Koheleth here. Koheleth uses the metaphor of a golden bowl in the same fashion. How precious in life. How precious that receptacle of life. And so soon over, too. A bowl, a golden bowl. How vaporous is life in the end. Aubrey de Grey. Even if you live 1,000 years, that golden bowl will shatter. C under two, aging. Death shatters the precious, fleeting draft of life. Isaac's servant found Rebecca. How poignant and how apt is the metaphor of water for life, right? Water meant life, of course, in the ancient desert clime of Israel. Isaac's servant found Rebecca for him, drawing water from a spring. Moses, a wife, Zipporah, drawing water for her and her six sisters. A woman at the well found eternal waters springing up from the Messiah. Shatter the pitcher, and you go thirsty and die. Life, that invaluable vessel that sustains. How we quaff life. How vaporous is life, though, in the end. Aubrey de Grey, even if you live 1,000 years, that vessel will one day break into 1,000 pieces. D under two, aging. Death unhinges the precious, fleeting course of life. How frustrating to have water so near, yet so far, because you can't haul it up, because your draft has broken, right? How will you draw the water if the pulley won't draw up your bucket? How vaporous is life in the end? Aubrey de Grey, even if you live to 1,000 years, that pulley will still one day break. E under two. Death dissolves the precious, fleeting constitution of life. Death dissolves the precious, fleeting constitution of life. The Lord God gave constitution to dust, breathed the breath of life into him, the image of God within him. And that dust came to life. We were formed from dust. And to that material we shall return. We were constituted from the earth, and to that earth we will one day dissolve again. Once again, the idea of the curse is a recurring motif, isn't it? Amplified and specified here. How vaporous is life in the end. Aubrey de Grey, even if you live 1,000 years, your corpse will one day turn to dust. Aging. F under 2. Death cancels the precious fleeting lease on life. Death cancels the precious fleeting lease on life. There's an expiration date on that lease. We straddle two worlds, the physical and the spiritual, and that spirit is given by God. He sends that spirit and they live, right? He takes it and removes it and they die. But it is out on lease, so to speak, and he will require it back from all of us one day. How vaporous is life in the end? Aubrey de Grey, or any of you here, if you're tempted to take him up on his offer, that velocity out of aging, right? Even if you live 1,000 years, God will one day require your very soul of you. But there is also the promise that if we remember God, the Zakar motif, if we remember so as to obey, he will remember us so as to save. As our Lord puts it, he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, that we should be saved from our enemies, to show mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. And that salvation will one day issue in the destruction of this very thing, that is death. As was read to us a little earlier, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. That day is coming as well, brothers and sisters. Let's now come to that place where we remember his death and what is coming in the new eschaton. Remember him until he comes in the bread and wine of the supper of the Lord.